is like glass.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Scott.
Well, hello, Don. How are you?
Being late as usual. Hello, sir.
Where's you're here?
What's that?
You're here. You're here. That's all that matters.
I am here.
Right now.
For right now.
You're here. Right now. This is the last show until January 6th, I believe. So,
yes.
Ready for Christmas and whatnot. And all sorts of stuff happening this last week. excuse me. General Motors. Stuff that UAW, more stuff to come out, I guess, a little bit this week. Excuse me. So, there's a lot of people watching the stock market right now with General Motors.
Yes.
A couple of things up that they've done, and I don't know if they think this is a good thing or bad thing as far as investors. I'm sure the investors probably think this is a good thing because they're saving more money, which means they're going to get more money. And I don't know. They could get more money if you sold a product that people wanted to buy. You know, I mean, it's just my opinion.
Yeah.
The Chevy Volt, we all knew about the Volt. We've talked about electric cars for years on this show. They had the ultimate electric car, and they killed it. So,
yes, they did.
To me, it seems like it's... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you hear Donald Trump may have won a reprieve for thousands of GM workers? Did you see that?
No. No.
Who the company planned on, you know, where GM planned on laying off. The president has hammered GM over his plan to end production and lay off workers at three GM plants. And it says, you know, the United States saved General Motors, and for her to take that company out of Ohio is not good. I think she's going to put something back in soon, Trump said after plant closure. Okay. But she's planning on making sure these people have jobs.
Right. And I did post a couple of days about that the last couple of days that they are going to offer 2,700 jobs going through different facilities.
Yeah. Right.
And which, I was thinking, you know,
go ahead.
Well, I started thinking, they said 3,300 people originally, wasn't it?
According to this, is 27. Yeah, there was 3,300 people that I guess is losing their jobs.
The other people would probably be Canada.
I would have. Yeah, that might be it.
You tell me there's like 600 people work up in Oshawa. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I started thinking about the number. 2,700, 3,000, it doesn't matter. That's only the temporaries that you have in about three different locations.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, I mean, really? So, I don't know. Just saying, you know. Arlington, let's see. Let's do Arlington. Point Assembly and probably Kansas City or whatever's in Missouri. I think it's Kansas City. You take those three plants right there, that's 3,000, probably over 3,000 temporaries.
Right.
You know, I mean, so they're still getting away with this whole thing. Oh, yeah, we got to offer these people some work. You know what? We still got a lot more temporaries, you know? So they're still saving their money. It's not hurting them a bit.
No.
It's killing the people, the working class people here that are out there that have truly made all the money for the corporation.
Right.
The local municipalities down there at the elected officials down there around, not Warren. I cannot think of the actual town that Lordstown's in or the school subsidiary. And they were standing with the people. They went to the local union hall and they stood with these people. So they're supporting their workers. And I thought that was pretty cool. I really did.
Yeah.
The right thing to do, you know, considering, to see, Mary Barra got $22 million this year.
Yeah, she struck it rich.
Yeah. And,
hold up for a minute.
To pay her $22 million. Sure, go ahead.
All right. We got a lot of people on the switchboard. If you'd like to push one, I'll get you right on the show. Push one on your keypad, and I'll get you right on. Go ahead, Scott.
All right. Hey, 4 days ago, I don't know what's going on with Ford. I mean, Ford's stock is kind of like a mini roller coaster, and up and down. Kind of like good on the basketball, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
And then 2 days ago, which would be Friday, Seeking Alpha posted that the Ford China sales plummeted 55% in November. That's a big drop in a month.
Yeah, that's a big drop. You're right.
I mean, it's trying to stay on top of this whole thing. The market's been, I guess you'd say, volatile this whole last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to a fellow this morning for just a little bit. He said, you know, people don't realize this last week we've lost over $1 trillion this last week. Now, I don't know if that actual money or if that's the money at Wall Street place. I usually don't do well for us. Just saying. With your other show that you do on Saturday night, you know, this stock market thing is going to play out to affect everybody's lives, not just us auto workers, union members. If we go into a recession, correct?
Right.
So that's where we're at with that, I think.
We're only going to 8 o'clock tonight, folks. So if you want to get in now. Because at 7:45, I will not be taking any phone calls.
Right. Like I said, this will be the last show until the 6th of January. Was you going to throw the chat room up?
It is up.
Uh-oh.
We have a guest
in
there. Of course you malfunction, Scott. That's you.
You gotta love it.
I might be late on top of it.
I was actually early today, but that's okay. So
come on.
Hey, I guess there's some more stuff to come out with Fiat Chrysler this last week. I don't know if you heard about the steak dinners or not.
No, I haven't.
I get in all of it. All I know is that the Free Press put this article out, I believe, 2 days ago. They said that the UAW's Fiat Chrysler Automobiles Department was fatally compromised in its ability to represent the best interests of its union members and their families during the wide-ranging training center scandal. That's the federal prosecutor said in a new filing. And he was citing that the culture of corruption in the UAW senior leadership.
Wow.
So I guess when I hear senior leadership, I would think that would be the International Executive Board, right?
So, if I was guessing, I'd say yes. I don't know for sure.
Anyway, interesting thing to know. There was some state dinners, and I think it was talking about, the federal people that were involved in this. And I don't know how that whole plays out with the state dinner thing. I think Jim would probably know more than I would about that. All I know is that there's federal employees involved in this whole thing. And I don't know if the feds pay for the state dinners or if we pay for the state dinners or who paid.
Don't know.
Oh, yeah. There's in this article, farther down the article, it said that the names of other officials, including former UAW President Dennis Williams and Vice President Norwood Jewell, have surfaced in relation to the scandal, but they have not been charged. And I'm saying yes. I think this thing, they go way back. I guess you're going back farther than Dennis Williams. I do. That's just my opinion on it. I don't know. We'll see what happens with this whole thing. It plays out more. We're all getting secondhand information at this point from the newspapers and news sources. So they are offering, like I said, that help the displaced workers in Indiana, other places in Ohio, Tennessee, which would be Spring Hill, the old Saturn facility. You'd also have, I saw Texas, which would be Arlington. Of course, Indiana probably be Fort Wayne. So,
right.
Some people. But you're going to have to move your whole family. You know, eventually you're going to have to move. And if,
that's the bad part.
If I would hope that they had been able to negotiate some kind of a special attrition program where if you have 28 years or whatever, that we could, you know, get you to that 30 and let you retire instead of have to move your family and sell your house and stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just bad. I think there are some other things that happened. Other people are calling for the special convention already. I believe that's a bargaining convention, which will be in Detroit, March 11th to the 13th, 2019. I'm trying to think. I saw that steak dinner. Yeah. That steak dinner thing just keeps coming back at me. I just can't think of where how the whole thing went. I should have stopped reading the whole article. So I should have done. I got it. It was posted from the Detroit News. And what that was, I find out. See, they spent contract negotiations leaders and the launch spent $8,494 meal at the Detroit Steakhouse paid for by Fiat Chrysler Automotive in a new federal court ruling. So, there's where the steak dinner thing comes, I guess. I don't know. All I know is said that the UAW leaders, once negotiations appear to be wrapped up, officials bookended the talks with a second lavish meal paid for by the car maker at the same restaurant. UAW leaders ate, drank, and smoked $15,000 worth of filet, liquor, and cigars. Two meals paid for by rivals across the negotiation table. Rank-and-file members at Chrysler voted out a proposed contract. Wow.
Hmm.
Wow. That must have been fun. Oh, steak dinner. I'm selling.
Yeah.
Well, two of them. Two of them.
Some hungry people.
Well, yeah. 2,800 people. Reuters was saying that 2,700 people are current for open positions at 7 plants: Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan, Tennessee, and Texas. And this is Kentucky one. More than 1,100 people are losing production have already volunteered to transfer to GM plants. Why 1,200 are eligible to retire? So maybe that plays into that number that, that we were talking about earlier. The wind that affects the Canadian people. So that's what they're looking at. They're hoping, they're banking on these people to retire. Another 1,200 people. So, yeah, there you go. Now I'm telling you a little bit. But it's pretty bad. You know, you got Reuters, you got Associated Press, you got other news sources. MSN actually had an article about the automotive world, basically about General Motors and layoffs. And the Ford is having problems with the stocks right now. And then they talked about the FDA scandal, of course. And Frank Hammer was on this last week. I posted that on Workers' Relations Union. He was out in another fellow. Frank came from the same local as Richard did, or where they wound up placing their seniority at. And he talked about that. And that community has come out. They're speaking out of how it's going to affect them, which is a good thing, I think. Somebody has the best idea to have some children of these workers in these factories write Mrs. Bear a Christmas letter. I don't know if that Grinch has any heart left or not. I know the Green Grinch did, but I don't think this one will. That's just my opinion.
All right.
So, a lot of things going on. Like I said, that was MSN. excuse me. Got a frog in my throat.
Noise, Scott. Hold on, Scott. Are you making some kind of noise in the background?
Uh-uh.
Hmm.
What are you hearing?
Like scraping or something. I can't. Right there. I hear scraping. I don't know where it's coming from.
From my phone? Is that what you're hearing?
I don't know if it's your phone or not. It sounds like it's scraping. Something kind of noise. Anyway, carry on, Scott.
It could be me. I want to make sure. I think it's quiet in the room where I'm at.
I just wanted to see if you're going to take credit for it. I know what you.
Well, that's me. I'll
it can't. Go ahead.
It can't.
Carry on.
This last week. Today. December 16th, Navistar voted on a contract. We've not heard how that went through. This is the second time this month. The first time they voted, I believe it was the 2nd or the 4th of December, they voted the contract down by 98%.
Wow.
I think it's safe to say that's a majority vote.
I'd say
so. They come back with another deal, and only thing that they will say is that the union officials said that they could not discuss any of the details of the contract. It's a six-year contract.
6 years?
So, 6 years. So, you think you got a bad contract? You done a four? You got two more years to go with it.
Wow. 6 years.
6 year contract. So I'm Navistar, if I remember right, is the company for the trucking group. Why can't I think what truck group is it? International, right?
I believe so. Could be wrong.
I think it's international. I thought Navistar was owned with Ford, but it was their parts supplier. I don't have to think about that. Huh.
Hmm.
That could be something. Fiat Chrysler sent 3 days ago. Fiat Chrysler sent 950 million North American media businesses to the published group Starcom. So I think that is their advertising firm, isn't it? I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is. It's a publicist group. It's like, that's a nice chunk of cheese for doing your advertising, isn't it?
Right.
$950 million. I mean, I don't know if that's a contract, how long that contract runs. If that's for, you know, a week or a month or a year. I would hope it'd be a year. But you know as well as I do, TV commercials are not cheap. They're very expensive. And I guess that's just how they do business. Because I remember, was it 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago. Didn't they say they didn't run any Super Bowl commercials? I think about that. I think it was. I don't think they ran just one or two commercials, and that was it. I think they only ran Cadillac commercials, I thought. I could be wrong. I'll think about that one, too. It'll come back to me. Ford is cutting back. Yeah. Hey, I did post from some locals. This is from local 600, the DSP
right.
unit
mm-hmm.
From Ford. I did post from DDMP's his special report. I think I got this from Brian. And then there's a Bolton from Flat Rock. Those are on there. They said basically there's openings at the Livonia Transmission Plant, the Dearborn Truck Plant, there's some openings, Chicago Assembly, there's 250 openings, Lima Engine Plant, or Lima, there's 40 openings. These Boltons coming in, we get these, we'll put these up as fast as we can. It's interesting to see how their shakeup is going to start playing off. Caterpillar is going to be closing the Joliet plant, laying off 285. And I would think that somebody, and I'll tell you who that somebody is, should be addressing this, I would imagine would be none other than your retired UAW President Dennis Williams. Because in his middle of his career, he was heavily involved in Caterpillar and John Deere. He helped facilitate the tier structure for them.
Right. Is that you barking, Scott?
That is me barking. Well, it's one of my dogs barking, but
let me get John on. John's on the line. John, go ahead.
Hey,
hi,
good evening, guys. How you doing?
Good evening, John.
Yeah,
wake up, Scott.
Well, what do you think, John? I'm gonna hang up and call right back. Go ahead, John. Here's your thoughts.
Well, I was listening to a lot of like since GM started the ball rolling, there's all kinds of layoffs now everywhere. And it's there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that it's all in preparation for the upcoming contract talks. They're going to cry wolf, and they're going to be looking for public support because they suffered losses because they didn't make as much as they wanted to, even though they still made huge profits.
Right.
And there's going to be, I've noticed that there's a lot more of the cronies coming out of the woodwork and commenting, particularly on posts that are telling the truth about our international representation and the lack thereof of the representation that we've been getting in the corruption charges.
Here.
With the FBI, right? So
right.
I've noticed that more of the cronies are starting to come out now and push their suck-up propaganda crap, for lack of a better term. It's frustrating to me.
Very.
But I am over the holidays. I talked to Dick last week, and we had a great lengthy conversation, and was exchanging some ideas, and I told him about my plan. I'm going to be doing a bunch of research and putting together a presentation to spread out to everyone, not just not just Chrysler for my plant and my employer, but for Ford and General Motors too. It's going to be very generic, but it should be very, very informative about some basic contract information, what to look for in a good contract, what to look for in a bad contract, without going through a big, long explanation and using very simplistic terms that everyone can understand, because we're not trying to lose anyone. We want people to pay attention and to actually know what the hell's going on, right?
Right.
It'll be very easy to follow, understand. Hopefully, I'll try to keep it short, sweet, and to the point, and not get too long-winded, which sometimes I have a tendency to do. But I'm also going to put in information in there, too, to remind people, because, unfortunately, it's human nature. We have very short memories. So
yes.
I want to make sure that I have statistical information in there about the gains and the record profits to remind everybody not to forget that they told us that if you give it up now, when things are good again, we can get it back. And that never happened. Yeah, well, I want to remind people that they said they would give it back to us or made an implied impression that they were going to give it back to us when things got better, and things have been better for them. They haven't gotten better for us, and to remind them of the record profits so that they don't forget that we helped in doing that, and we deserve our fair share.
Damn right.
So it'll be probably in like a PowerPoint presentation form that'll easily be able to be distributed all over, so people can share it, print it out, and share it with anyone and everyone that needs to know. So that's what I'll be working on over the Christmas holiday.
And you got your work set up for you. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, could I add a little piece of information? Add a little piece of information on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
2000, Don, I, we've had talk about this. I don't know if you remember that. In 2007, I believe it was 2007, we voted to allot a future raise to help with this thing called a VIVA. Well, it wasn't a VIVA yet. It was to help offset the retirees and the pensioners' health care costs. Don, you were still working when we did this.
Right.
Remember when we voted on that? And then they said, on the next contract or whatever, when things get better, they get this resolved, we'll get that back. That's exactly what they told us, but that we'd get that back. We never got that back.
No.
And that's a chunk of money that I don't think even Mr. Danjan talks about. Because when they went forward on that, you know, if you had to look into the language on it, it was very clear. Because what it did was, I think it was 2005, I think we opened up a contract to add that. It was a percentage. It was you're going out your future raise, and then on top of it, if you work any overtime, they got money off the overtime too. And people understand that. So that might be something for you to look into.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Was that under Ford, General Motors, or Chrysler?
General Motors.
General Motors?
No.
I'll have to do, looking into
it. I don't know if they did the same thing with Ford and Chrysler. They wasn't really tight with anybody at that time from other facilities. But I would imagine if it has to deal with retirees, I'm sure they did it at Chrysler and Ford also, I would imagine. So you have to see that time frame.
I wonder if that was the foundation from the COLA diversion into the VIVA.
No, because the VIVA didn't come out until, was it 2011? The 2011 contract. I want to say this took place like in 2005. Because, let's say 2005, 2007, 2011, we capped off our pensions. 2015, we added Tier 2, 3, 4, and 5 back in to the contractual language. We just changed the name on the Tier 2 worker as in progression worker. And then you added short-term temporary, long-term temporary, and permanent temporaries, which means you don't have to hire anybody but permanent temporaries if that's all you want to do. It's a legally binding contract. So, and then you also had people who are not participants in the pension plan vote on our pension language. That was also in 2015. So,
That's
talking about money. There's a lot of
got all about that one.
What's that?
That's a very, very solid point.
I can share this with you now. My appeal made it all the way to the Public Review Board. I was not invited to my hearing, and they ruled, and my appeal had no merit. And if you want a copy of that, give me over the holidays, and I'll get you a copy of this, because you read this, you'll be thoroughly entertained, I would imagine.
Yeah,
because
we'll have to exchange numbers and emails and stuff so that we can, because I'm going to need all the help I can get, because this is, to have only 1 week to try to throw all this stuff together, I could use, and very willing to accept all the help that I can get.
Oh, absolutely. In light of what I just said, the ruling, I felt my personal opinion would have affected somebody else that was on this show a few times, who was a temporary who was voted in
as the vice president at their local, who has now been, you know, removed because they let the temps go, or that portion of them. And I really feel that that gives no wiggle room at all to the UAW executive board as how they can manipulate around the system, because I've got a legal document from the executive board, the public review board, that says this is how it is, and I got actions from another local that contradicts that. So which one is it? UAW? Do they have a voice? Because you say in your legal proceedings that they have a voice, yet you tell me, though, when somebody gets elected a vice president, that they don't have that right to do that. So it's a little bit of a quagmire, and I'll share that with you. I got like a 20-page dissertation back from them on that. That was my ruling.
Wow.
I started that with...
frustrating, that's for sure.
Go ahead. I started that with Mr. McKnight. We had pushed this through a little bit, and I think mine was the only one to get all the way up. And I'm going to tell you right now, they didn't take long on this. I mean, this thing was, the time I started the appeal process, it was like less than 2 months, and the ruling was sent back to me. A big manila envelope.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there was a lot of discussion about this, I don't think. So, Ford, not changing the subject, but Ford people, they're being displaced. I'm sure this has everything to do with Ford announcing that the only thing they're going to be making in the United States will be trucks and Mustangs. If I remember right, isn't Flat Rock the Mustang plant?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Because, what is it, the Local 600, what they call it, the DP, that's the truck plant, right? Gary Walkowitz is local, isn't it? Or is that 2051?
No.
No.
No, no, no.
I don't know.
Well, when they make the trucks now, they used to make the Mustangs there because my cousin works there.
Okay.
And, at the Dearborn Rouge place.
Right.
Over where they do the tours and that. That used to be the Mustang plant. Now it's the truck plant. And then the Mustang moved down to Flat Rock.
Right. And now, didn't they, I've been so long since I talked about this, don't they run... another vehicle down that assembly line at Flat Rock along the Mustang. Don't they run a Mazda or something? Isn't it a foreign vehicle?
I don't know if they're still doing that or not. I know they used to.
Used to. Maybe that's what it was. Used to. Because I thought that was always funny because they're always trying to get the union to sign up union members, and you're running a foreign vehicle down an American line, kind of like what they did at NUMMI. But at NUMMI, they were all United Workers. Just a thought. Which, by the way, the NUMMI plant is home of Tesla right now, right? No?
I don't know.
I don't know either,
yeah.
Scott.
I think Elon Musk bought the old NUMMI, California, I believe in Van Nuys, bought the NUMMI, California plant, and I think that's where he's running the Tesla. In fact, he's doubled production inside the facility, and they put up a huge tent to assemble even more so that they're meeting their production quota that he said that they had meet. I just saw that somewhere this last week, and I thought that was kind of interesting because he happened to mention our UAW leadership and said that they were creating lies and were publishing false information as to hinder him and his production. That was just part of what I heard. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But anyway.
Because we know their track record, right?
Right.
Exactly.
It's funny. I was talking to a coworker about the Tesla, and his thoughts on it were that the guy seems to be innovative. He just either lacks knowledge or experience in the automotive industry to actually start producing and doing well. And when it comes to the unions, the opinion was that he's kind of clueless, but I don't know.
Right, right.
Seems
well,
to be.
I mean, he's done some pretty phenomenal things.
Yeah, but he's pretty, I don't know what you call it, but I know he was on Joe Rogan's show, and he was, you know, it's a podcast that's taped, and you can watch. He's smoking a joint talking about Tesla, and I'm thinking, man, this guy, he's very strange, put it that way, very strange man.
Reminds me of. Go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Oh, I was just going to say, well, the guy might be on the right innovative track. Maybe he's just not surrounding himself with the right people to help him make it happen. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
That's true.
He reminds me of Howard Hughes.
Really?
I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, Howard Hughes was a very successful businessman. He was no dummy. He knew that he couldn't trust his government either. But Howard Hughes had a lot of, personal malfunctions. He had some phobias. And he had some, I don't know what you'd call it. He had some mental issues, that's for sure.
Yes.
I believe the word you're looking for is idiosyncrasies.
Yes.
There you go.
That's
that'll
the word.
Work. Thank you.
At least.
You know, because people don't understand that when people get at such a high intelligence that they have these peculiar behaviors about them. You know, people don't realize that. You know what I mean? And he's definitely a brilliant mind. I mean, look at the things that he's accomplished. And
sure.
I did note that not only is he brilliant, but he's confident. And I like confidence. And his level of confidence is at this, that any of his his patents on his electric vehicles are open patents. Let me repeat that. They're open patents. He said that if anybody can build an electric vehicle better than what he is, they may use his patents in his technology to do so. So I thought, wow, that's a pretty big statement to put that out there. You have open patents on your technology.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty bold.
And it was 60 Minutes, by the way, is where I saw that. Because Leslie Stahl was taken back when she said, you have multiple open patents on this technology. Why would you do that? And he told her, just as a matter of, you know. And during the interview, you could tell that he's not like talking to you or I or us talking to Don or anybody that, you know, on this show. He's a different type of person. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
A little strange. So, but like I said, there's been a lot of stuff going on this last week between people being really upset with General Motors, and rightfully so, and Mary Barra making her extravagant pay that she makes. And then also this last week, we got hit. I think all of us workers got hit. Kind of got blindsided with what happened with Rick Snyder signing those two bills. They signed a lot of bills this last week. But the lady that bills that come on, they gutted the minimum wage that people voted on and the paid sick time initiative. Those were gutted. And I thought that was pretty lame. Dude, you're leaving the state. Why hurt the people that, you know, whether you voted in or not, they kept you there for 8 years. I didn't support the man the last four. I didn't make no problems about it because I thought he was bad for Michigan. He was bad for the workers too, but I don't know. I just thought that's a slap in the face of the voters who voted for this, and then to abrogate that, what the constituents of the state voted, and went ahead and did that. So that was just last week too.
Right.
So, it's not a good thing for us. And also for people who are looking at robots in China, in a porcelain factory, you're going to love this one. There was a man, he's 49 years old. He was skewered alive from a factory robot with a 10-foot-long steel spike. And I posted on Worker Group Pages and Unions. And if you do not have a strong stomach, don't open up the story. He was skewered not once, but multiple times. And it's kind of gruesome to look at, I'm just telling you. So, when you guys thinking about robots, be careful around these robots. They don't care. They don't have eyes. They may have sensors, but they're still programmed, and they do. And if you get in between them going from point A to point B, they don't normally stop. So, Don knows, well, I'm sure. So, as John, we work around automation. So, be careful around automation, please.
Yes, but hey, on a positive note, wanted to share with you guys what happened at my plant a couple weeks ago at our unit meeting. I organized and got a lot more people to show up than normally show up. I was even proud of the fact that I got three individuals that refuse to go to meetings because they're disappointed in our representatives. They still went anyway for me. So I'm really proud and grateful for that. But we've had an ongoing issue in our plant concerning overtime. A lot of complaints and concerns about the way that it's currently being done in our local agreement. And nobody's done anything about it. And as you guys know, we don't need more division in our plant than what we already have. There's enough things that divide us, right? We don't need overtime getting in the way. So I did some thinking about it. And a lot of people were asking that we put together a committee to look at it and to present options to the membership that can be voted on by the membership so that they have a voice and a say in how it's done. And that would be fair. And so I made a motion at the meeting, and it passed unanimously. There wasn't a single nay for both the shifts, which was I was really, really pleased about, that the membership actually came together to make this happen. And so I was excited, and I don't think that all of the members realize yet how big of a step that is for the membership to come together on this topic to try to put an end to one of the things that causes division, that they came together to do that. And that I don't think that they realize that it shows that with solidarity, we can do anything. So I was really, really excited about that, really pleased. And I'm hoping that this will continue to grow in our plant, and I'm hoping that maybe this will be a good example for others as well to show that if the membership can come together just on one thing at a time, you don't need to fix everything, but just one thing at a time, we can make a difference. So I'm excited about that. I'm really, really, really happy to see that starting to make progress in my plant, and I'm hoping that it kind of gets contagious and spreads to others. It's a very, very positive thing.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Baby steps, right? Start with baby steps.
Yeah. Absolutely, baby steps.
And
the world was, God didn't create the world in a day, right? So
right.
You can't fix things overnight.
So where would we, or how else could we share this information other than on a radio show and on Facebook pages?
That's a good question.
My point of thought is we know that the union, that the leadership at the Solidarity House does not like Facebook because they can't control it. They try. They've sent millions of dollars to a PR firm to try to, basically let all the air out of our sails with that contract time, and it scared them. Because they lost control for a little while. They got it back. But I'm just saying, there is power in Facebook, and more locals are starting to post Facebook pages now.
Well, we have to wait and see what the outcome is of this, and I'm hoping it will be a positive outcome, and we'll have a good voter turnout for the overtime selections to present at our next contract talks or negotiations. I will definitely keep you guys posted because I set time limits on when it has to happen.
Right.
And so we'll see if the chairman follows through and meets those time limits like he's supposed to. But if it all works out, I'm gonna plaster and share it everywhere, regardless of the lapdogs that they use to spread their propaganda, and whatever PR firm that they use. I'm gonna plaster it everywhere because everyone needs to know that when the membership comes together, whether your leadership is poor or corrupt or whatever, at your local level, you can make a difference. The most powerful voice. Powerful authority in the UAW is the membership. So,
I agree.
If the membership comes together, we can make it happen. No bones about it.
Absolutely. Quote from Walter Ruther, we assess that free men cannot be fully mobilized, nor can we build and maintain high national morale if millions of workers and little people are asked to tighten their economic belts. by big corporations continue to enjoy the luxury of business and profits as usual. Walter Ruther. There you go.
Yep, that's absolute truth.
And we're getting there. We've got about 2 minutes left in the show, a minute and a half. I guess this time I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, be safe. And if you're going to drink, please don't drive. Your family and your friends would like to enjoy your company a little bit longer. Our next show will be January 6th. Go ahead.
The drinking and the driving thing, state police, and I know in Monroe and Lenawee counties, they're all filling their end of month quotas. They're all over the place. So definitely watch your drinking and driving. Take Uber or whatever you have to do to stay safe and stay out of harm's way.
Absolutely.
And I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. John, you and your family. Scott, you and your family. And Dick and Jimmy and their family and everybody's family that listens to the show. How about that?
Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
Well, like I said, we have about 30 seconds left to go. We wish our Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's. Once again, January 6th will be our next show. Hope you enjoy the holidays.
Be careful.
Maybe we'll have stuff up. Yes, please be careful. And John, get some of this stuff done. John, if you want to post that on Workers, Workplaces, and Unions, you're more than welcome to do that. I mean, if we can get this spread out, absolutely. Any information you got.
Absolutely. Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, John, thank you very much. Scott, take care of yourself. John, take care of yourself. Please be careful if you're out drinking and driving. I wouldn't suggest it because it's going to be a mess out there, police everywhere, and you need to bring them back alive, okay? So be careful.
Yep.
Stay out of the bars. Stay at home. Enjoy the holidays at home. How's that?
All right, guys. That's good night.
Awesome.
Okay, John, take care of yourself. What's that, Scott?
Night. Yep. We'll do
okay.
that.
Okay. On behalf, go ahead, Scott. I didn't know you continue to talk. Keep going.
No.
That's fine. You're fine. Go ahead.
But you
stalled.
Good. Good night. And work safe this last week. Work safe.
Right. On behalf of the UAW Factory Whistle Show, on behalf of Dick, Jimmy, Brian, Marty, John, Scott, and myself, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. Good night, everybody.
Night.